Before we get going this morning, I did want to address something that I think is important for all of us to know about and to understand and to be praying for. As many of you may know, maybe you don't know, but yesterday on the Gaza Strip, Hamas launched over 2,000 rockets into Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu has essentially declared that they are at war. And so we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Israel. I am a firm believer of the state and nation of Israel. I still believe that God has a plan for that nation, to save that nation. And there are many, many believing Messianic Jews in Israel. But there are still some who reject Jesus. And so we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Israel. It is God's chosen people. And we are all obviously a part of his family if we believe in Christ. But I do believe that God still has a plan for the nation of Israel. He declared long ago that the world would be blessed if we bless them, and the world would be cursed if we curse them. And so I believe in that nation. And so I just want to take a moment this morning and pray for our sister nation of Israel, and just ask that the Lord would protect them and keep them, and of course give them wisdom, and give all of us wisdom on what to do as we as they are at war. And so let's just go to the Lord this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and Lord, we just ask, Lord, for your provision. We ask for your protection. We ask for your mercy and your peace, Lord, for your chosen people, the Israelites, the nation of Israel, Lord. As they were attacked yesterday and many people have lost their lives, and even as Israel, Lord, retaliates and fights back and defends themselves, Father God, others are losing their lives as well. God, we pray for the nation of Israel, your chosen people. Lord, we ask in the midst of these things, Lord, your word says that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but these things must come to pass for your son to return. Yeah. And so, Lord, I do believe we are in those end days. Each day is closer to the day of your return. And so, Lord, we pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. But, Lord, we also pray for those that are behind this attack, who are fighting a holy war in your name, but Lord, it is not you. So Lord, we pray for their hearts. We pray for their souls, Lord Jesus. You came and died for the world. No one is too far out of your reach, Lord. So Lord, we pray for those who are attacking and are persecuting you and the nation of Israel. And just ask, Lord, that you would just save them. Change their hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do what we can as we support your chosen people through prayer, maybe through action, whatever it is, Father God, we just turn to you now. And again, Lord, we ask for your provision in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for that. Good morning, Mountain Valley Chapel. Wow. I don't know. Was there like a holiday last week? There was hardly anyone here. Like, it's good to see you all is what I'm trying to say. It's good to see you all. You know, it's like we had the parting of the Red Sea. This was pretty vacant, and then there were a few on this side, but it's so good to see. I know there's been some sickness and things going around, and we've been praying for all of you. So it's just good for everyone to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, today we are kind of finishing things off on our series that we've been in for a while. If you haven't been with us, we've been in this series called Foundation for several weeks. And we've been talking about really what I think and feel and believe is God's call and mission for Mountain Valley Chapel in this new season. As your new pastor, it is my heart and desire to see us become the people that God has called and created us to be. And really what that comes down to is all of us being on the same page, understanding our mission and being on board with that mission. And that mission is to go and change the world for Jesus. It's to make disciples. It's to share the good news with a lost and dark world. Especially here in this valley where there's so much spiritual warfare and so much darkness. But I'm so grateful and thankful that even the smallest light of the Lord, the darkness cannot stand. And we are his light. We are his hands and feet. We are his representation, his ambassadors, as the young children are going to be going through that later this month. And it is our job to be his light, be his hands, be his feet, be the salt in this world. That was his plan. The church was always plan A, and that is who we are, and we must be the people that God has called and created us to be. But how do we become that? That's what we've really been talking about over these last few weeks. And we've been focusing, as we're talking about foundations, wanting everyone to be on the same page, whether you've been following Jesus just a few minutes or you've been following him your entire life. All of us have been given a mission. All of us have been given a job to do. And if we want to know what that mission is, and if we want to fulfill that mission, it requires us following our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 7:24, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That is really our goal. That is our aim, is to not just be a people who listen to what Jesus says, but to live out and do the things that he's called us to do. I want to be a wise man who's built my house on a strong foundation, so that when the storms of this life come, and they will come and have come, we will stand, because we are building our foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And so he's given us a mission. What has he called us to do? To make disciples. The last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven, and where he is now ruling and reigning, as we're awaiting his return, his marching orders have not changed. Make disciples. That is what we are called to do. And so we've been talking a little bit of how do we fulfill this? Because he said that we need to teach these new disciples to observe the things that he has commanded us. And so we've been walking through some things that Christ has commanded us to do, commanded us to live out, commanded us to be a part of our lives. And so over these last several weeks, we've been talking about these 10 commands. Things that as followers of Jesus, we must apply to our lives. And again, just as a way of reminder, we talked about how these first five, as you see, surrender, talk, listen, remember, and lay aside, all of these things have everything to do with you and your relationship with God the Father. The great commission is to make disciples. The great commandment is to love God with everything that you have. And if you want to love God with everything that you have, that is my heart and that is my desire, it requires these things. Now, this is not the only things. There's so many other things involved in this, but these five for sure will help us to love God with all that we have. If we're truly living and surrendering our lives to him, he will make us a people who love him. And of course, the other five, give, proclaim, forgive, serve, and make disciples, all this has everything to do with the second part of the great commandment, which is to love people, to love your neighbor as yourself. How do I do that? How do I love my neighbor as myself? Well, it's through the actions that we do, the way we give, the way we love, the way we serve, proclaiming, as we talked about last week. All these things have everything to do with loving God and loving people. And I am convinced that if we be a people who submit to these and to submit to him ultimately and surrender to him, he will change us. And by changing us, we can go out and change the world. And so that's what we've been talking about. Last week, again, I know many of you weren't here, but we talked about Jesus' call to proclaim. And we talked about what it is we're supposed to proclaim. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And we talked about some misconceptions that we have around, that surround this idea of proclaiming. There are many Christians in the church who believe that it's not their job to do it. It's my job as your pastor. It's my job to do that. Well, Susan, I'd hate to burst your bubble, but I talked last week. You really want to know what my job is? My job is to equip and to train you to do the work of the ministry. So, Susan, it is your job to go share, proclaim. It is all of our responsibilities as followers of Jesus. It's all of our responsibilities as followers of Jesus. And, of course, we also talked about another thing that I think holds Christians back from sharing the gospel, and it's the pressure of getting people saved. How many of you want to see your loved ones saved? There's a pressure that comes with that, almost to the point where we feel like it's our responsibility. But again, I want to alleviate some of that pressure. Uh-oh. Connecting. Oh, well. Lost their thing there. It's not your responsibility to get people saved. Yeah. It's your responsibility to share the gospel. Yeah. And you leave the rest up to Him. Yeah. He is the one who can save. Only He can save. And so, I'm going to cancel that. Can I get, Mike, can you run this back there at least just to get this thing? Technology. It's supposed to help us, right? Anyway, again, when it comes to this command to proclaim, Jesus Himself proclaimed. He proclaimed the good news. He proclaimed the coming of the kingdom. He sent His disciples out to do the same. Our job is to share the gospel. It's up to Him to save. So please keep that in mind. Remember that as we go and proclaim and share the good news. Today, we kind of wrap up our series and we talk about this last one of make disciples. Oh, there we go. It's working. Do we get it? Are we working? I got the... It's all good. But the last thing we're going to talk about is make disciples. It's one of the last things, but in my opinion, one of the more important things when it comes to loving God with all that we have and loving people. It's this call to make disciples. Again, this goes all the way back to what we just talked about in the Great Commission. Jesus' last words were, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now, before we kind of continue and move on, I just want to ask a question. And I want you to be honest, okay? Don't put your hand up because you think it's the church answer or you will feel left out if you don't. But just an honest assessment. How many of you would honestly say and feel and believe that you're a disciple? How many of you would honestly feel, believe, and say that you are a disciple?
Could I say that I feel like I'm becoming a disciple?
Okay.
Sure,
hey, that's okay. It's okay. Here's the truth, and here's what I've found. Because I've asked this question before in church. I've gone up to people. We've asked this in men's ministries and in other various ministries. Asked the question, do you think you're a disciple? And you'd be amazed how many people said no. And do you want to know the number one reason why they feel they are not a disciple? They don't think they know enough. They don't think they are equipped enough or at that level to where they can honestly say that they are a disciple. And if you remember, I've said this several times as we've been talking about this idea of discipleship. Our culture, our church, the church in general, we've gotten discipleship wrong. We think it's about knowing things. And yes, it involves knowing things. Jesus said to teach others. There's a level of knowledge that comes, but it's not just knowledge. Jesus said, teach them to what? Observe. Observe. And so you can know everything. You can know everything that there is to know about Jesus, about following Him and all these things. But if you don't actually do what He says and apply to your life the things that He says, what good is the knowledge? Discipleship is not just about knowledge. It is about doing what He said. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what that is. Again, some of us might have the idea when we ask, what is a disciple? Maybe you have this picture. Can I get that first picture of those books up there? Again, we think it's this. Knowing more, reading, and just understanding and studying everything. Maybe some of us have the next picture of the scriptures. If I just memorize enough scripture, if I just know the Word of God and what it says. Or maybe some of us think discipleship looks like this next picture, going to church and being a part of a body and a community. Now, before we move on, I want you to know what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that discipleship isn't these things. It is a part of these things. But really, in our culture, a better way to really describe what is discipleship, like what is a disciple, is this next picture. Discipleship is really more like an apprenticeship. My best friend back in Spokane, Richard, he, by trade, is a journeyman carpenter. He took time and he did some schooling. Yes, there's some knowledge and things, but he spent the majority of his time, as he learned what it meant to be a carpenter and to study and things like that, do you know where the majority of his training came? On the job. He studied under somebody who was, quote-unquote, proficient and an expert in this field. And now he can frame and put up drywall and do all these things that I wish I could do. But he learned it through an apprenticeship. It wasn't just something in a classroom and then said, go apply it. It was one-on-one, right there in the trenches, building and doing the work together. And that's a lot what discipleship is like today. It looks more like this picture. It's coming alongside one another, helping each other, growing each other together, saying, I'm going on this journey. Will you go on this journey with me? And I want to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus. Because, again, the reality is we, as 2,000 years removed from Christ being here, we've lost the understanding of what it really meant to be a disciple of Jesus. In fact, if you guys know, it looked like this. It looked like this. Where Jesus picked a group of guys and said, follow me. And they did. Yeah. They followed him. And we're going to talk more about this idea of following Jesus in the next week or two. Really kind of dive deep into what does it mean to really follow Jesus. And that will kind of wrap up our foundation series. But this is what it meant to follow Jesus. Walking alongside of him. Going where he went. Eating where he ate. Sleeping where he slept. And doing the things that he called them to do. This is what discipleship was about. So again, I want to ask the question, what is a disciple? Now as we, as a pastor team back in Spokane, we're kind of going through these things and processing, what does it actually really mean to be a follower of Jesus? One of my good friends, Pastor Anthony, he introduced me to a pastor who's from Portland, Oregon. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is John Mark Comer. Now, there are a million ways to describe what a disciple is. I have found, and what we have found, is that this, in my opinion, represents what a disciple is. And so according to John Mark Comer, what is a disciple? You can see it in your notes here. What is a disciple? Can we have that next slide? A disciple, at its core, again, trying to keep things simple, right? A disciple is someone who desires to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. If you want to summarize what a disciple is, it is someone who desires to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. Now again, I want to ask a question, and there's no shame. I want to go back to that question. If this is kind of the criteria, if this is what we think and feel and believe, at least what I think and feel, thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mike and Sophia. Going back to that question, when I asked, do you believe, do you think, do you feel that you're a disciple? And if this is kind of the criteria we're going to look at and say this is the marks of a disciple, would you call yourself a disciple? Raise your hand. Would you call yourself? Praise the Lord. Same hands. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. Now, if your hand didn't go up, I don't want you to feel shame or embarrassed or anything. Because the reality is becoming a disciple, becoming a follower of Jesus, and then to go and make disciples, it's a high calling. It's a high calling. Jesus himself would say that anyone who put their hand to the plow and looked back is not fit for the kingdom. It is a high calling to be a disciple of Christ. And we talked about this when we talked about that command to surrender. What does it really mean when Jesus says to surrender to him and to follow him? Again, we're going to talk about that in the next week or two. But as we talk about making disciples, and as you reflect on your own life as a follower of Christ, these are the marks. Someone who desires to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. This is the marks of a disciple. My question to us is, does this define your life? And it's okay if it doesn't, but again, my hope, and even just for me, this is the type of life that I want to live. I want my life to be a life that's marked by being with Jesus, by becoming more like Jesus and doing what he says. So if that's what a disciple is, then it comes the question. Jesus said, go make them. How do we do that? How do we make disciples? How do we make them? So we're going to unpack how we make disciples. Again, this isn't the only way. This is the way that I have found and come to believe is the way that Christ made disciples. It's a way that I think is simple, but it's not easy. Again, following Jesus is a high calling. Making disciples and following Jesus in its essence is simple. Put your faith and trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross. Follow him and do what he said. Simple. But as many of you know, it's not easy to do sometimes. So how do we make disciples? Well, again, if we're going to make disciples, the first thing, and probably one of the most important things when it comes to making disciples, is one, we must first be a disciple. If we want to make disciples, we must first be a disciple. And again, what is a disciple's life marked by? It's marked by somebody who desires to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. So if we want to make disciples, we first must follow Jesus. Now again, like I said, we're going to unpack this a little bit more, but here's how Jesus had people follow him. He invited them to follow him. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Simple. Simple. Jesus didn't have them go through a 12-step class and then take a test, and then if they got a high enough score, then they were worthy to be his followers. He just invited them and said, follow me. And they did. And he says, I will make you fishers of men. Now again, as I've said, we're going to unpack this a little bit more, but that call to follow was a loaded question. Again, we don't understand it in our context and culture, but back in the first century, when a rabbi was calling his students, they knew what they were signing up for. It wasn't like they were being asked to go to class from 9 to 3 and then go home and do some homework and then sleep it off and then come back to class the next day. They were giving up their life to follow somebody. Just like we saw in that picture of the disciples. They gave up everything to follow him. That is the context. That is the understanding that we must have when Jesus says to follow him. And if we're going to make disciples, we need to follow him first and foremost. Now with Jesus, when it comes to following him, it's always in an invitation. It's always an invitation. And we talked about this when we talked about this idea of surrender. Luke 9 says that if anyone wants to be his disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. And we talked about how all of us have been invited into that relationship. That if we believe through faith, we have the opportunity to follow him and be his disciple. And so if we are to follow, and it requires an invitation, the next step in making disciples is that we must invite others to follow Jesus. We have to invite others to follow Jesus. Again, same passage of Scripture, Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus is the one who makes us become the ones that invite others to follow him. But it requires an invitation. I mean, imagine being a part of the coolest crowd ever, a follower and a disciple of Jesus, and wanting to be in that crowd. I mean, this might take you back to your high school days, right? There was the it crowd, right? Right? How many of you had the it crowd in school and you desperately wanted to be a part of it? How many of you, like me, just thought you were worthy of it and just invited yourself to it? How did that turn out for you? Not so good in my case, at least. Requires an invitation. And it's simple. It's as simple as when Christ said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's us going to people and inviting them and saying, hey, do you want to follow Jesus with me? Do you want to know what it's like to explore and to learn and to grow as a follower of Jesus? And that invitation can come in many various forms. If we're talking to non-believers, that invitation usually starts with the gospel, an invitation to receive the gift of God. And then if they do, we invite them to follow him. We invite them to follow him. So again, who do we invite? Who do we invite? We invite new believers. We invite seasoned believers. Looking at you, Bill, seasoned. Not just talking about age, of course. Seasoned believer is anybody who's been following Jesus for any amount of time. And then you'll notice this last one, non-believers. Now, real quick, new believers. Folks, if you have an opportunity to lead someone to Christ, or if somebody you know had just given their life to Christ, this is prime for the picking. I remember when I fully gave my life to Christ at 23 years old, I was so on fire. I wanted more and more and more of Jesus. I mean, I was changing my schedules at work. I was going to all the Bible studies that I could go to. I was hanging around with all the people in the church because I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. I wanted to continue in my walk, in my relationship with Jesus. So if you want to make a disciple, find a new believer because they want it. They want it. Seasoned believers. I've fallen prey to this myself. As we grow in our walk with Christ and we become mature in our faith and continue to grow and do the things that Christ asks us to do, sometimes we can become a little stagnant. Am I right? Right, when we think about all the things that we should be doing, like surrendering, talking to God, praying to him, listening to God, being in his word, we all have busy lives. And these are the things that should be a priority, right? But if you're like me, sometimes those things kind of become the bottom of the list because all the other things in my life are so important. Am I the only one? So how awesome would it be as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ walking alongside one another, encouraging one another, and exploring and growing, and what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Strengthening our faith, building each other up in the Word so that we could go out and do the work. So if you're wondering, who should I disciple or who can I enter into discipleship with, and you don't have any new believer or a non-believer to talk to, right here. I mean, that's why we have our men's and women's ministries. That's why we have our youth and kids programs. We're discipling each other. We're growing together in the faith. Now, this third one, non-believers. Now, this one's kind of a little tricky. You're probably not going to walk up to a non-believer and just say, hey, do you want to follow Christ? I mean, how are they supposed to follow someone that they don't even believe in? Yeah. However, as we talked about last week, when it comes to this idea of proclaiming the gospel, there's so many ways that we can proclaim the gospel. So many ways. And one of the ways is just by living it out. And so believe it or not, you can actually start discipling a non-believer just by the way you live and interact with them. Yeah. And like we talked about last week, and when those walls begin to fall down and you move in with the gospel, you can actually begin to disciple non-believers and lead them into a relationship with the Lord. But practically, where this fits most, I believe, is kids. If you're a parent that has kids. I mean, even right now for Megan and I, with our three kids, Benaiah, who is our oldest, he's 4 years old, we sing stories, we tell Bibles, we sing songs, we tell Bible stories, we talk a lot about Jesus and following Jesus. My kids can tell you what sin is. My kids can tell you who Jesus is. There is a knowledge and understanding of who he is. Now, whether they've taken that and put it into their heart and received the gospel and received the Lord as their Lord and Savior, I don't think they've taken that step yet. We've talked with them several times about it. In fact, our son, Benaiah, I think he's so close. But you can begin discipling your kids who, again, from a spiritual standpoint, they don't really understand and know Christ yet. I would put them under the category of a non-believer and not a not-yet believer is probably what I would maybe say. Again, these are just three, but really, if we want to make it even simpler than this, who do we invite to follow Jesus? Everyone. So first, we must follow, then we must invite, and now the practicality of being a disciple comes in. If you want to make a disciple, the third thing is we model what it looks like to follow Jesus. Again, going back to even just that previous example with our kids, we can tell them about Jesus, we can talk to them about Jesus, but a lot of discipleship, you've heard this before, it's caught more than taught. And if you're a parent of young kids, you know what I'm talking about, because there are things that my kids do and say that I'm like, they didn't get that from me, so they must have got that from you. I just got the look. Again, Paul, next to Jesus, I would argue the most influential person in our faith. He said this to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Now again, you heard me talk about how being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus is a high calling. When I read that, I don't know about you, but I kind of shrink a little bit. Because if I look at how I live my life, is that something that I want other people to imitate? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm doing my best. I'm trying to love Jesus with all I have. But there are things that I do that I would not want to have others imitate, especially my children. But again, this is the goal. We model what it means to follow Jesus. Again, Paul is echoing that. Be an imitator of me as I imitate Christ. That should be our aim. Again, someone who desires to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what he says. And my hope is that as we've been going through this series, I hope you guys can see, and I hope that I've been doing a good enough job to show you that I'm not just telling you what to do. My goal, my aim has been able, what I've really been wanting to do is help you apply the things we're talking about. And I've been trying to give you various examples. I've even given us opportunity to do it right here in this room. Now again, this isn't about being perfect. A lot of people don't think when they get to this part about modeling, they don't feel like they could be a disciple or they don't feel like they can disciple because, again, their life is messy. But all of our lives are messy. This is not about perfection. This is about being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what he said and doing it together. And so it's just asking people to come on that journey with you. Look, I'm not perfect. I'm exploring and learning and growing and what it looks like to follow Jesus. Would you like to come along with me? And I'll show you what I do. Again, what I do might not be what you do, but my hope is that you would catch something and you would begin to apply these things. Like when we talked about the command to remember God's faithfulness. Do you guys remember the example that I gave you that Megan and I do? I know it was a long time ago. It involved a little box. This is how we remember God's faithfulness. That we put things, when we see God move and we know it's God, we take those things and we put them in that box. And then throughout the year, we open that box so that we can proactively remember God's faithfulness. That's what we do. That might not be what works for you and your family. But the point is I'm here to model for you what it looks like to remember Christ for me. Now it's up to you and Jesus to decide what works for you. And of course, the first Sunday of every month, we take communion. We practice the action of remembering. So again, we model what it looks like to follow Jesus. Again, it's not about perfection. And understand this too, it's not about behavioral change. Discipleship is not about, we've talked about this, a transfer of information. It's about transformation. And so we don't model, we don't walk through discipleship with someone just so that they change their behaviors. We model these things and pray, and as they seek to be with Jesus, and as they seek to become like Jesus, and as they seek to do what Jesus said, I believe the Holy Spirit will do the work. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12, not be conformed to this world, but to change your mind by doing a bunch of studying. What does he say? Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And who is it that renews our mind? Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So again, we follow Christ to the best that we can. We invite others to do the same, and we model for each other. We live out with each other. Again, we go back to this example. We walk alongside each other and live this out together. But then lastly, and this is the one where I think people get a little nervous, the last thing we do when it comes to making disciples is we challenge our disciples to make disciples. Again, we've talked about how do you want to know if you're a disciple? Are you someone who desires to be with Jesus? Are you someone who desires to become like Jesus? Are you someone who desires to live like Jesus and do what he said? But how do we know if we've made a disciple? Yes, if they're doing these things, but do you want to know the true mark of whether or not you've made a disciple? If they're making disciples. Because discipleship is about replication. Disciples make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. This is the true mark of a disciple. Again, Paul, in some of the last words that we know that he wrote to young man Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2, he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me." Now, I'll argue also what you've seen from me. Because when you look at all the letters that Paul wrote to the churches that he visited, to the churches that he planted, again, in Corinth, he said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." That doesn't come from just something that he taught. That comes from something that he lived out. And here he's telling Timothy, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Challenge others to live this out. And I think this is where we miss the mark in today's church, in the American church, because we've made church about consumerism. Coming to church and fill me and feed me. And yes, there is an aspect of that. But the whole purpose of church, the whole reason we gather on Sundays and even at our women's and men's and youth events, one and first and foremost is to glorify God. But second It's to be trained and equipped to go do the work the other 6 days of the week. We must challenge those who we are discipling. We must challenge ourselves to make disciples. Now, some of you, like Proclaim, might be feeling a little nervous. Nick, I can't do this. I can't go up to somebody and ask them if they want to follow Jesus with me. I can't live these things out. I want to go back to this first part of what Paul said to Timothy. You then, my child, which is what you are. If you are in Christ, you are his child. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. For anyone who's timid or shy or uncomfortable about sharing the gospel or making disciples, I want to encourage you to be strengthened by Jesus. It is he who lives in you that is equipping you to do the work. It is not of your own accord. If you want to do it by yourself, fine. Let me know how it goes. Because more often than not, you might do some good things, but eventually your strength will grow weak. And if you're like me, you'll fall flat on your face. But thanks be to God that when we're weak, he is strong. It's not I who live, but Christ in me. And so don't rely on your own strength. If you're trying to take the reins and go change the world for Jesus, praise God, but please do it under his authority and under his strength. Because if you try to do it by your own, yeah, you might make some disciples. Some people might come to know Christ. But you'll get burnt out. Or by doing it at your own strength, you might not see the results that you think you want to see, and then you might give up. That's why we need him and we need each other, to encourage each other, to grow in one another, to go and make disciples. Now lastly, before we close, the bottom of your notes, you'll see a question that I ask, why should I make disciples? What I want you to do is just take a moment. And I want you to honestly answer that question. Why should you make disciples? Do you think you should make disciples? And I want you to just write down your own thoughts. Because this is for you and for Jesus. Again, my belief is that we are all called to make disciples. Regardless of where we're at in our walk with Christ, if we've said yes to him, that's enough. It's enough. If we're desiring to be with Jesus, to become like him, live like him, and do what he said, it's enough. So why should you make disciples? Why should we make disciples? For me, the answer to that question I shared last week when we talked about Proclaim. In Romans chapter 10, Paul's writing to the Roman church, a church he hasn't even met yet, a church that he'll go and visit and be imprisoned at towards the end of his life. But here he is writing to the believers in Rome. And he says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. He starts off by saying, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Praise God. When we think about discipleship and we think about proclaiming the gospel, all it takes is for them to call on the name of the Lord and they'll be saved. Before this, he says that if you believe it, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But then he goes on to say in verse 14, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. How are they going to know if nobody tells them? And he says, how are they to preach unless they are sent? Mountain Valley Chapel, I'm commissioning you. You are sent. Go preach the gospel. Go proclaim the good news. And go make disciples. Absolutely. It's going where Christ would send you. It's getting out of your comfort zone. Christ did not call us to a comfortable life. Being a follower of Jesus, Christ says, you're going to be hated. But will you still follow me? Christ said, you may lose everything. Will you still follow me? And will you still proclaim the gospel even if it costs you your life? Now, some of us, we may never be called to that. But we are all still called to the same mission, which is to share the gospel. And so last week I asked the question, I was asking you to pray for those divine appointments. Lord, who do you want me to proclaim? Show me someone that I can proclaim the gospel to. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be asking yourself, Lord, who do you want me to disciple? Who do you want me to disciple? And don't go in with any kind of preconceived notions of what that person may or may be. If the Lord puts someone on your heart, then I would encourage you to pray and to seek and ask God to help you disciple them. To model the things we've been talking about. To just walk alongside each other and try to live out what it means to be with Jesus, spending time with him every day in his word. To become like him. How do we become like him? We do the things that he did. Lord, who do you want me to disciple? And then disciple. Then disciple. Again, this is our goal, this is our aim, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And what is it that Jesus told us to do? Well, he told us to make disciples. But how do we do that? Well, we've been walking through these last weeks on what that looks like. Starting with surrender, giving your life to Jesus every single day. Once for the eternity, but then every single day after, to live for him, to follow him, talk to him, listen to him through his word. You've heard it said, don't just get into the word. Get into the word until it gets into you. Allow the God of the universe to change you by the power of his word. It's alive. It's active. Remember God's faithfulness. Lay aside everything in our lives that are keeping us from following him. Give because God gave. Proclaim because how is the world going to hear the name of Jesus if we don't open our mouths? Forgive. Forgive. If there's one thing that's keeping the gospel from going forth, It's the issue of unforgiveness within the body. So, family, brother, sister in Christ, forgive because God forgave you. Serve one another as Christ served. Be an example to the world and make disciples. This is how we fulfill our mission. This is how we fulfill God's call. And again, just as a reminder, and I'll throw up a graphic for you visual people. How do we make disciples? Starts by following. Follow Jesus, surrender to Jesus, live for Jesus. Invite others to do the same. Model with them and for them what it looks like in your own life to follow Jesus, what it looks like in your own life to surrender to God, what it looks like in your own life to talk to God, what it looks like in your own life to listen to Him and spend time with Him. And then lastly, challenge them to do the same. Challenge them to do the same. And just know, this isn't a one and done thing. You may work with somebody, disciple with somebody, challenge them to go make disciples, and it's not a, I'm done with you now. It's an ongoing thing, people, where you're working together always, trying to grow closer to Jesus, being with Jesus, becoming like Him, doing what He said. This is our call. This is who we are supposed to be. And this is what I feel the Lord is calling us to do and become. It starts with hearing Jesus. My sheep know my voice. But then what does the rest of that verse say? And they follow me. We must be a people who not only hear the voice of God, but do what He says. And what is it He's called us to do? Make disciples. Follow Him. Surrender to Him. Talk to Him. All these things. Now, as we close and kind of wrap up this series again, next week or the following week, we'll talk a little bit more. I want to go a little bit more in depth of this idea of following Jesus. But just know this isn't the last time we're going to talk about these things. I promise you. And if you feel like it's been a while since we've talked about these things, let me know. Because we need to constantly be reminded of who we are in Christ and the mission that He's called us to do. Again, my heart, Mountain Valley Chapel, I want to be the best pastor that I can be for all of you. My heart is to love you and to know you and to grow with you, to train and equip you the best that I can. I'm not perfect. I will fall short. But my desire is for us to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did together. And see, not only starting first and foremost, our lives changed, our families changed, our communities changed, the places of work changed, and ultimately this valley changed, and beyond. Until He returns. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father God, it is a humbling thing. Lord, who are we that You are mindful of us? Lord, we are but dust and a vapor that is here today and gone tomorrow. But yet, Father, You chose us. You created us. You desire a relationship with us. And sin got in the way. And that perfect relationship, Lord, that You established from the beginning was broken. But Lord, I thank You that You didn't just leave it broken. I thank you, Lord, that you just didn't wipe it all over, wipe it all out and start over. Lord, you say that from the before the foundations of the world, your plan was Jesus. God in human flesh, coming and paying the price that we deserve to pay. But it was a price we could never pay. No matter how many times, Lord, we could never pay the debt that we owed because of sin. But you, Jesus, chose to come to become sin, the one who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus. And by putting our trust and faith in you, Lord, your word promises that we are a new creation, that the sin that separated us separates us no more, and that there is life in you, in this life and in eternity. Lord, you've given us a mission to tell the world about you, to make disciples, to follow you, to be with you, to be like you, to do what you did. This is our goal. This is our job. And so, Lord, my heart is that in the midst of all the things that are going on in this world, in our own lives, the busyness and all the things, Lord, that you would remind us of our job, which is first and foremost to follow you and to make disciples, to love you with all that we have, and to love others as ourselves. Help us to be that people. Help me, Jesus, to be more like you. Help me, Lord, to surrender to you every day. Help me, Lord, to talk to you, to spend time with you, to remember your goodness. Lord, remind me of the things in my life that don't need to be there. And give me the strength and courage to lay those things aside so that I can run the race that is set before me with endurance, looking to you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So that, like Paul, we can say at the end of the day and at the end of our race, I have run the race. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. But Lord, as we run this race, there are going to be others that we will encounter. People, Lord, that you've called us to love as we love ourselves. And Lord, in the world that we live in today, it's getting harder and harder to love, even for followers of Jesus. May it never be with us, Lord. May we always love as you loved. May we speak the truth in love. May we live out what it looks like to follow you. Would you give us the strength and the courage to preach the good news, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, and to make disciples? Father, strengthen and equip this church and the people of this body to do that very thing. And Lord, we leave the results up to you. Change our hearts. Change our families. Change our communities. Change our places of work. Change this valley. And change this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mountain Valley Chapel. I love each and every single one of you. It has been a pleasure to be here and to be your pastor, and I'm so excited for what God has in store for us as we continue in this journey together. God bless you. Enjoy this good weather while you can, and we will see you all next week. Love you. God bless.